ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Chapter 16, Divine and Demoniac Natures, Text 5. Daivya Nibandhaya
Nibandhaya
Asuri
Asuri
Mata
Mata
Ma
Shuchaha
Shuchaha Sampadam
Sampadam
Si Pandava
Pandava Devi Sampadvi Mokshaya
Nibandhaya Suri Mata
Nibandhaya Suri Mata
Masuchaha Sampadam
Devim Masuchaha Sampadam Devim Abhijato Si Pandava
Devi Sampadvi Mokshaya
Devi Sampadvi Mokshaya
Nibandhaya Suri Mata
Nibandhaya Suri Mata
Masuchaha Sampadam Devim
Masuchaha Sampadam Devim
Abhijato Si Pandava
Abhijato Si Pandava
It's a good practice to recite the verses and get habituated to it. Very purifying. These are divine sound vibrations spoken by Krishna. So these words are non-different from Krishna. So when we chant them carefully, attentively, looking at all the diacritic marks, making sure we're pronouncing right, the long vowels, short vowels. The mispronunciation is usually because of inattentiveness. We don't see them. Vowel marks. So, if we carefully try to pronounce and make it a habit and a practice, it's very purifying and very, shall we say, tasteful, very tasty. It's very nice to chant and you'll get addicted to it. Okay. Daivi.
Daivi.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Sampat.
Sampat.
Assets.
Assets.
Vimokshaya.
Vimokshaya.
Meant for liberation.
Meant for liberation.
Nibandhaya.
Nibandhaya.
For bondage.
For bondage.
Asuri.
Asuri.
Demoniac qualities.
Demoniac qualities.
Mata.
Mata.
Are considered.
Are considered.
Ma.
Ma.
Do not.
Do not.
Shuchaha.
Shuchaha.
Worry.
Worry.
Sampadam.
Sampadam.
Assets.
Assets.
Daivim.
Daivim.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Abhijataha.
Abhi.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. Do not worry, O son of Pandu, for you are born with divine qualities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna encouraged Arjuna by telling him that he was not born with demoniac qualities. His involvement in the fight was not demoniac, because he was considering the pros and cons. He was considering whether respectable persons such as Bhishma and Drona should be killed or not. So he was not acting under the influence of anger, false prestige or harshness. Therefore he was not of the quality of the demons. For a Kshatriya, a military man, shooting arrows at the enemy is considered transcendental, and refraining from such a duty is demoniac. Therefore, there was no cause for Arjuna to lament. Anyone who performs the regulative principles of the different orders of life is transcendentally situated. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Yadani Jarashashara just as the topics of the other 15 are, of the 17 are. But nevertheless, this particular chapter deals with something that is so important for us in the sense that it's very tangible. We observe this, we experience this every single day in our life, from morning to night, within ourselves as well as in others. Before I go ahead, I just want to mention that it is so nice in our lectures and programs to take a particular verse from the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam and then speak that rather than just speaking generally. Because these are very special verses, not ordinary things. And this is the established tradition. Srila Prabhupada set it up and he wanted us to do this morning Bhagavatam in Bhagavad Gita. So it's nice to get a flavor of these things and have some serious discussion, especially since this is a body of devotees. When we're sitting in the midst of newcomers who don't know anything about the Bhagavad Gita, then we talk on so many things. But when it comes to devotees, then we must get to the point. Am I correct? More Bhagavad Gita, more direct Krishna Bhagavatam. No beating around the bush. Yes? Not tiptoeing. Outside we have to tiptoe. What should I speak? What should I not speak? Now, without looking into your Bhagavad Gita, can you tell me what some of the divine qualities are? Many of you have read Bhagavad Gita, I think. And you're aware of what these divine qualities are and what the demoniac qualities are. So divine qualities, from what you remember and what your judgment is?
Compassion.
Humbleness.
Love.
Cleanliness.
Peacefulness.
Truthfulness.
Gratitude.
Loyalty.
Devotion.
Fearlessness. Yes. Equipoise. Okay, so many. Actually, Lord Krishna begins by speaking about fearlessness. Abhayam sattva samshuddhihi. Jnana Yoga Vivasthiti. So Abhayam, fearlessness, to understand that Krishna is always protecting me and therefore I have nothing to fear. And Prabhupada mentions in the comments that, in his commentary, that this fearlessness is especially meant for sannyasis, because sannyasis are meant to be in the jungle, traveling in the middle, and they're traveling place to place, and suddenly there may be wild animals. He doesn't say that, but you know, you're going in the forest. In the olden days, that's what happened, right? People would travel from place to place, and they didn't fly like we do now. So you have to be fearless, even in the midst of a dense, dark jungle, you have to be fearless, knowing that you are not alone and Krishna was always with you. And that indeed actually goes for all devotees. You have to cultivate this quality of fearlessness and understand that Krishna is always with me. There is never a time or circumstance where I am alone, actually speaking. Even if no other person is with me, but Krishna is with me. And that should give us always tremendous confidence and faith and fearlessness. Sattva Samshuddhi, that means purification of one's existence, being situated in knowledge and so on. So he lists out many divine qualities. And it's interesting that when he speaks about this, he says, Bhavanti Sampadam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharata. So people born Abhijatasya Bharata, O scion of Bharata, this Daivi Sampada, or this aggregate of divine qualities, is found in those who are born with the divine nature. Mind the words. Abhijatasya, of those who are born with it. Similarly, here in this verse, Krishna says, again, Mashuchaha, that means don't worry, don't fear. Sampadam Daivim Abhijatosi Pandava. You are born with the Daivi Sampada, with the divine qualities, so you don't worry. Even though I've talked about the demoniac qualities, but you needn't worry about it, because you are born with the divine qualities. Abhijatasya Pandava. What are some of the demoniac qualities?
Pride.
Arrogance.
Conceit.
Anger.
Greed.
Lust.
Envy.
Greed. Faithlessness. Atheism. Growth. That's anger, yes. So these are some of the demoniac qualities. And perhaps Arjuna thought, oh my God, he has listed out the demoniac qualities and now I'm going to fight a vicious battle and I'll be killing people and my elders and my gurus and everybody. And so anger and hatred, all this is going to come up in me. So that means, am I demoniac? And then Krishna tells him, no, don't worry Arjuna, I'm mentioning the demoniac qualities here, but you have been born with the divine qualities. And you are fighting for me. So your actions become transcendental. They're not ordinary. And Prabhupada mentions here how Arjuna, because he's divine by nature, is considering these things. Oh my God, I have to kill my elders, my superiors. Duryodhana had no such qualms or compunctions. He was easy at heart. Because he was arrogant, he was greedy, he wanted that kingdom at any cost. Even if it meant killing his, wiping out his entire dynasty, practically speaking. And ultimately, of course, he failed. So Krishna assures Arjuna, you are born of the divine qualities. Some days ago, I was in a function of our manor, Gurukul, for the little children. And I spoke just for 5 minutes there. And I happened to mention this one thing, that there is such a thing as a born devotee. You know, when someone from a very young age exhibits uncommon talent or ability, a natural flair for something like leadership or music, then we say he's a natural leader, or she's a natural musician, a born leader, a born musician. Now we are struggling to become devotees and to make others devotees, right? Isn't it a struggle? Is it a cakewalk? No, it's hard. We are struggling. Every one of us is struggling against the modes of material nature. Trying to chant our rounds, trying to see that our mind doesn't wander, and trying to make other people devotees. Oh my God. Especially nowadays. It's not easy at all. So we may think that, oh, this is, you know, how difficult it is. And yes, but is there such a thing as a born devotee? Yes. There is such a thing as a born devotee. Why is somebody a born musician? Why is somebody a born musician? From previous life. These impressions have been very strong from the previous life. You know, I remember the story of this general who fought in the Second World War, General Patton. Was very famous, and he believed in reincarnation, very staunch believer of reincarnation. And he not only believed in reincarnation, according to some accounts, which seemed to be credible, he claimed to remember many of his previous lives. He was a Roman soldier, then he was a soldier in Carthage, he was a soldier in the French army, so many such births. And every birth he was a soldier or a military man. So when he was born, he was a born soldier. So the blood, it was there in his, you know, in his from his sanskars, from his previous life, from many lives. Someone like Beethoven, or take the example of some other musician like that, with extraordinary genius in composing things. It is said Beethoven could compose a whole composition at one shot. It appeared to him like a screenshot. He just, one shot, he has the whole thing composed. How did that happen? Born musician. So this can happen on the material platform. Why is it not possible on a spiritual platform, on a devotional platform? And people surely nowadays, devoid of spiritual knowledge, would want their children to be something like this. They would want their children to be born footballers, or born musicians, or whatever, you see. But we as devotees, what do we want the newly borns to be everywhere? Born devotees. So how do we make them born devotees? What makes somebody a born devotee, and why is it that somebody is born like that? Why is it that somebody comes to Krishna consciousness a little later? Why is it somebody doesn't come despite so much endeavor? What is the reason? So we see there is a history. So why someone comes to Krishna consciousness and why someone doesn't? One can understand different criteria, different points that we can consider. One is the time before conception. The person, that jiva, that living entity has a history of previous lives. In those previous lives, that entity has accumulated a lot of samskaras. What are samskaras? Samskaras are nothing but impressions on the consciousness, on the chitta. Just like you have footprints on wet cement, let's say. So they are very visible. And then when the cement dries up, then they remain permanently imprinted there. But so long as it is wet, still some change can be made in that. Once it dries, it's hard. So these things remain imprinted in the consciousness for lives together, life after life after life. And this actually forms our svabhava, our nature, with which we are born. So this is one very important criterion that determines our nature, our personality, and in general, specifically whether we become a devotee of Krishna or not, and how serious as devotees do we become, or are we lukewarm devotees. The second happens from the point of conception, roughly up to the age of 5 years, that is, or after conception, that is, and then leading up to, say, 5 years, the whole period of the pregnancy, and the first 5 years, which I consider especially very sensitive, where the child is especially impressionable. So many, many inputs the child gets, samskaras, sights, sounds and smells. That forms the character, the personality, the mentality, the thoughts, especially the inclinations of the child. And the third is after that. Of course, you could subdivide that stage also. But once they enter into the teens, then the whirlpool starts. The madness starts. Very difficult period. The hormones are acting up. The exposure to the outside world, the senses are getting agitated. Everything goes haywire, topsy-turvy. Very difficult period. So at that time also there are very strong impressions. And the later you come to Krishna consciousness, the more harder it is. So we see in the instance of Prahlad, he was frustrated. He gave up his attempts to perform austerities. And his wife Kayadu asked him, what happened? You were supposed to be away for 10,000 years, whatever it was. And you came back so early. He said, yeah, what to do? There were these birds, and they kept chanting Narayan, Narayan. So she was devotionally inclined, so she took the opportunity. What did she say? Yeah, they said Narayan, Narayan. No, I didn't hear. What did he say? So she kept getting the name of Narayan from his mouth. And that is when the conception happened. And there was Prahlad. So sometimes we see that even in cases where the families are, or the father or mother, one, especially the father, maybe the mother, you must still get some devotee child, you know, very fabulous devotee. And there are so many such examples. Sometimes they happen by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna places them. Mahaprabhu has placed them in different parts of the world to send us a message that devotional service transcends all these material designations, like caste, creed, community, nationality, etc. And then, after that, Prahlad heard Srimad Bhagavatam in his mother's name. So that was doubly, triply reinforced. And then when he was born, he was a born devotee. Born, literally born devotee. But to be born a devotee, you have to have devotional impressions before that, and before that. So in the earlier verses here, Srila Prabhupada speaks, I want to quote that. The word abhijatasya, in reference to one born of transcendental qualities or godly tendencies, is very significant. To beget a child in a godly atmosphere is known in the Vedic scriptures as the Garbhadhana Samskar. If the parents want a child in the godly qualities, they should follow the 10 principles recommended for the social life of the human being. So that Garbhadhana Samskar has many other aspects, but essentially it's the process of preparing oneself mentally, physically, spiritually, and beckoning the grace of Krishna, and through that to beckon or bring a suitable devotee soul who is looking for some nice devotee parents. You know, because when people do devotional service, they don't always complete their devotional service in that life. It may be incomplete. In which case they may go to the heavenly planets and then they have to take birth again. Or they may directly have to take birth in a devotee family. So there are these souls looking for appropriate parents. I want devotee parents. I don't want to be born in some other family. So then the to-be parents now are beckoning to Krishna, please send us this nice jiva who is a great devotee of yours. So then the souls, by Krishna's arrangement, the appropriate soul is then sent. So that's the beginning of the born devotee. And then after that, then especially the role of the family comes in, and the mother in particular, to give a lot of devotional samskaras to the child. And it's nice if at this time the mother especially is not disturbed, doesn't read the newspaper, see the television especially, no gossip. Whenever you see any pregnant lady, don't go and gossip to her anything. Okay? Don't gossip. Do you know what happened there to this devotee? Said this? Don't say it. Just talk to her about Krishna. And she shouldn't be exposed even to all sorts of sights and sounds and smells of the outside world. As far as possible, temple, devotee, home, that's it. As much Krishna consciousness as possible, she will be always cheerful, pleasant, no arguments, no quarrels at home, very nice, loving atmosphere, happy, jolly, chanting the Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy names, worshipping the deities, and then see what kind of child. And then to the age of 5, that's very, very impressionable. Born devotees will come like that. Sometimes, not sometimes, always, because karma is so complicated, gahana karma no gati, very difficult to understand the ways in which bad and good karma are intertwined and how transcendental sukriti is enmeshed in that, very difficult to say. So some people manifest their devotional qualities right at birth, like Prahlad did, and some may manifest it a little later, some much later, depending on all these factors that I mentioned earlier. Becoming devotees from most improbable backgrounds. So we can understand the various reasons, including, let's say, their past life, some scars of their past life. So I thought, and to illustrate these points, I'll tell you a few stories. Yes, now everybody's face lights up. And I tell you, I'm going to do a lot of heavy philosophy to everybody's things. And these are stories, you may be surprised to know, is of Muslim devotees of Krishna. Some very famous Muslim devotees of Krishna. Which goes to show that the fact that these people became such exalted devotees, at least some of them were exalted devotees and some of them were just devotees and they had a lot of fascination for Krishna. It's not to do with their upbringing in some cases. So it obviously has to do with the previous life. So they had that strong sanskara in the previous life, somehow or the other, by some stroke of good fortune, unknowingly performed Garbhadhan samskara or some semblance of Garbhadhan samskara by the parents, that child is guardian, born of such and such parents. We cannot sometimes fathom it, we cannot figure it out. I'll start with a devotee called Ras Khan. How many of you have heard of Ras Khan? Ras Khan. Now his name was, I think, Ibrahim Khan or Sayyid or something like that. He was probably of some Turkish ancestry. His ancestry was Turkish. He was born in a wealthy family somewhere near Delhi. about around the time, a little later, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from this world, or maybe around that time. And he, from a sophisticated, landlord, wealthy Muslim family, so he was educated in Persian and Sanskrit also. He was quite well versed in Sanskrit. And as he moved on, the Vedic Hindu scriptures, and he also studied the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he became fascinated. And he grew up, and the fascination continued, but nothing very striking. He is one of the very popular poets of the medieval age. He wrote mostly in a language called Brajabhasha. Brajabhasha.